This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
And we're live. Welcome everyone to the Smoking Nun. This is a new show that we are doing with the lovely Katie Paulson. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
How are you today? Ooh,
that's some music. I'm really good. How are you?
Okay, so can you hear me, Dave? Everything good?
Are we okay?
What does that mean?
What?
Oh, let me fix that real quick. Tech issues. Okay, I think we're good now. Let's try that
again.
That's okay. That's all right. Welcome, Katie. I'm glad you're joining me for this new show. I have always been obsessed with Dateline NBC, and I thought it would be all to do something along the same basis. Talk about what you specialize in, and abnormal. So I'm glad you're on this journey with me.
Yes, I'm really excited to do this with you.
So guys, the way we're going to do this is each show is going to open up with two different sections. We're going to have a headline section where we go through some very... What's the word? Stupid, I guess, would be the correct word. Dumb.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. News of the ridiculous. And then we'll move into a more serious main topic. And Katie, do you want to give everybody kind of a preview of what we're going to be touching on a little bit later?
Yeah, we are going to enter into the wild world of free birth.
And if somebody doesn't know exactly what that is... What is free birth and what does that entail?
So free birth is women that choose to give birth in the wild, just like our ancestors. And they don't have any medical help. And many of them don't get any prenatal care. And they don't have any attendance for the birth. So it's just them and maybe some family or their partner. So there's zero medical help. And tonight we're going to talk about what can happen when it goes horribly wrong, which, you know, when you don't have an attendant and it's not medical help, that might happen.
So that means no epidural, no pain meds, anything like that?
Absolutely. Oh. Nope. It's birth at home without a midwife, without a doctor, without a doula, nothing, like zero help.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm already hurting.
Yeah.
So Dave, let's throw up our first headline and see what we have here. Let me put my glasses on so I can actually, whoa, there's a cool transition. Okay.
Yeah, I can get smart. I'll get smart too.
There we go. So the first story is about a man who was arrested for pelting his mother with sausages. And the story goes.
Uh-oh, what happened?
The guy, but 2-year-old Floridian. Of course it happened in Florida. Okay, that's the first thing that I want to say. No offense, Dave, but everything crazy that goes on happens in Florida. It's a requirement.
Yes, it is. Or Ohio.
Ohio too, yeah. I'll agree with you there. Of course, the 22-year-old...
I just happened to be moving to Ohio.
Yeah, trading one crazy for another. There you go, Dave. the 22-year-old Floridian was arrested for allegedly pelting his mother with sausages inside the kitchen of their cops charge. Who claimed he battered his 41-year-old mother after asking him to make some food around 8 p.m. Monday. The victim agreed to prepare a meal, but asked her son to give him a few minutes because he's busy. The unemployed individual became angry when asked to wait, according to a statement. He threw the remaining sausages at his mother, with one striking her in the right eye. He also allegedly pushed the victim backwards, placed his hand around her neck. So this guy was in charge with battery for pelting his mother with sausages. I just think that that's just the worst. I mean, what a brat. Thank you. That's the entire reason I wanted to do this story. All right, Dave. We'll go to the next one. Okay. This woman got an eyeball tattoo. She may lose her eye. There's no worry associated with this. I mean, there is, but we don't need to go into it. It's just that what I thought was curious and funny was that it says, now she's warning others. Now, to me, I don't need to be warned not to get an eyeball tattoo. Do you?
No.
Right. We're not idiots. So, I mean, this no. It's like warning people not to eat fire.
Right.
Okay. So that was just a little quickie. The next story, Dave. This one is my favorite, or one of my favorites.
This one is so funny.
Yes. I think you said you're thinking about writing an article on this. You have to. It's gold.
I mean,
it's gold.
Yeah. It's just been published so widely. I don't know if it's worth it at this point.
Okay, so deputies say that a man tells police he was hit in the head by an axe, claims the ghost did it, and also the ghost planted meth on him. So, as if we need to read into this anymore, I'm going to, but... man, after he called 911, that's the funny thing. He called 911. He called 911 himself, right, saying that he had been hit in the head with an axe, and claimed that a ghost had done it and that a ghost had planted meth on him. According to the arrest report, deputies responded to a stabbing complaint to a residence in Monroe. Once they arrived, they were met at the front door by a man who was cursing at them and talking to people who obviously weren't there. Deputies say he was numb nor cooperating, and later on, he eventually said he had been hit in the head by an axe. There were intruders in his room, and that ghost had planted approximately 1 gram of meth on the individual.
Duh. Now,
I have never cocaine was my drug of choice. I've never done meth when I. I've had some good coke, but I've never had coke that made me, one, see things that weren't there, two, claim that ghosts had assaulted me, or three, that they were where I was getting my drugs from. So that had to be some really killer meth, I think.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, with meth, though, the longer they're awake, I think the hallucinations are part of it because they're awake for so many days at a time.
That's true. Anything about that? He looks like he's been up for a while.
Yeah, I don't know anything about meth. It's a dirty, dirty drug.
We need a meth expert. Dave, you know a meth? You're in Florida. Can you just walk outside and grab one?
I mean, well, I take prescription Adderall, and that doesn't make me hear voices.
That's close enough.
No, I can't. I can't go out inside and grab one. But I mean, I've taken ecstasy, which is related to meth. But I was really careful with it. You know, it's like you take it once,
yeah,
and you know it makes you feel really good. But then you read up on it and you realize, hey, if I keep taking it, all the serotonin in my brain is already gone. So then I'm just doing meth. So I might as well not do it.
Mm-hmm. I love people that say I was real careful with it. That just means they didn't have enough to get raging.
It means I did my research, Kyle. That's what it means.
Okay. You're a careful drug user. I feel you, Dave. That's good.
I am. I mean, I've never done sativa. I never would touch actual just straight up hardcore meth. There's a that lot of things I wouldn't touch. I wouldn't touch heroin.
Is there a non-hardcore meth? Is that an option?
No, I don't think there is.
I don't think, I mean, no. Keep freezing. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think with the power lines and stuff that are down around here still, that's probably causing some interference with me. Just bear with me, guys, on that. There's trees everywhere around here. So I said I was glad that hurricane season's almost over.
Yes. Hurricane Michael, he was a bitch.
He was. Super bitch. Okay, Dave.
Super bitch.
And actually, Katie wrote an article about this, so I'll let Katie take this one since she knows this one through and through. So, Katie?
Yeah. So, this woman, I think it's in Ohio, isn't it? Yeah. she decided that her son decided that he wanted a tattoo, and she decided that that was okay for some reason. And she invited a 16-year-old boy to come over and give her son a tattoo. And then she thought it would be great to put it on Facebook and stream it for everyone to watch. And then it got viral, and people kept calling the police for where she was at. And then it got reported. Turns out the 16-year-old giving the 10-year-old a tattoo didn't sterilize his equipment and didn't wear gloves and gross. Like, who knows what was on those needles? But there was no law in Ohio preventing a child from getting a tattoo, so you couldn't actually like charge her because she approved it. But she did get charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor for the tattoo artist. And the tattoo artist actually got arrested, too.
What did it say what tattoo she got? I can just imagine her getting like a Sesame Street Thug Life or a Sunny D in that gothic
it was
style
really,
font.
It was really tiny, and it was on like his left shoulder. I don't know. Capri Sun. He's so little and skinny, and like maybe one of the more disturbing factors of it is that like there's random like tweakers running around in the background with like no shirts on, and there's like the table is full of dirty stuff. It almost looks like there's drugs. It's like disgusting.
Shocking.
Yeah. And it's in Ohio.
It seems like there's a recurring theme going through these stories, and that would be crystal meth. I'm pretty sure it's involved in each one of these.
Was this in Florida too?
No, this one was in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
You can go to the next one. Okay. Trump supporter calls 911 on black Lyft driver for not turning on the radio. A Trump supporter who betrayed his who berated his Lyft driver with the N-word has been fired from his job after a video went viral. Lyft driver Sean Lettman of Brooklyn, New York, calmly filmed the 16 minutes by passenger Ortiz. He said he jumped into the Lyft and said, "I'm going to make sure that while you're recording this, that you have that you never have a job as a Lyft driver again." He said that "I'm going to make your life a living hell. Turn on the radio. Turn on the radio, you piece of shit." And when the Lyft driver did not comply and turn the radio on, the guy decided it would be a good idea to call 911, because when you hear who is on the radio? That's so out of touch with mainstream music. Who's on the radio now? Is Ariana Grande still big?
Selena Gomez, Ariana Grande, Bruno Mars, Pink, Justin Bieber.
You can never go wrong with Bieber. Yeah, we'll go with Bieber.
Maroon 5, they're still around.
Now, I just want to say, look how calm this gentleman who is driving the Lyft looks. And the guy in the back, you can just tell by looking at this picture that he is an asshole. I mean, he just has that air about him. But who calls 911 when someone won't turn the radio on? I could not understand this at all.
A racist jerk.
It's true. What did he expect 911 to do? Like, police come out and arrest the guy for not turning the radio? It's just bizarre.
Like,
bizarre.
Trump supporters are like the entitled jerk faces of the United States. That's all I know.
Jerk face is good. I like that.
Yeah.
Jerk face.
Yeah.
trying to keep it clean. Speaking of jerk faces, let's look at a real big jerk face here.
Oh God.
My ovaries are sad. I will say though, this story is funny because it's equally jerk facey on both sides. Okay, because you have
and someone just tagged me on this on Twitter like right before the show. It's funny.
Did they? Well, it's funny because so you have these sects of witches on October the 20th. Has sold out and interest of thousands, right? So about 60 people will be in attendance in the event, which will the ritual will include effigies, coffin nails, graveyard dirt, and a spell.
Sounds legit. Can we spit?
You have to. I think that's required. But this is the funny part. She said that this bookstore has organized hexes before, including three last year on Donald Trump. Now, let me give some advice. Do not Donald Trump. He does a bad enough job without witchcraft, making him fuck up even more. So let's hold back on the hexes on Trump, please.
I know. I don't want to die. Like, I don't want to country to blow up. And you know what? If we hex him, then guess who we get for president? Mike Pence.
White bread.
Right?
The biggest piece of white toast on the planet. But yeah, it says that this will be according to called the rights of the score. It will validate, firm, uphold, and support those who have been wronged and who refuse to be silent anymore. I get the sentiment. I get the desire to want to, hex anybody. If anybody deserves to be hexed, it would be Brett Kavanaugh. Just look at that face. I mean, just look at that face. But this is ridiculous. And it's a money thing. To me, it's a money thing because they have all of this publicity about it and they're charging, I think, $20 a ticket. So if it's already sold out, I mean, you know, that's the capitalism of the country, but I don't get it. I really don't. Okay. Let me clear this out. All right, Dave, we can clear that out. Okay. So those are your dumb headlines for this week. I had to cut it back. I had like 18 stories that I wanted to do, but I knew we couldn't do 18. There's just so much dumb news on the internet. And I was telling Katie the other day about my favorite story, which was this lady that got a couch, and she got the couch in the house, and it was comfortable for the first little bit that she had it, and she would sleep on the couch. But somewhere in that time, it got really stiff, apparently, and she lost her mind. And she claimed the couch was then possessed by demonic spirits who were stiffening the couch so that she couldn't sleep. And so what do you think she did, Katie, to rid the couch?
I don't know. Did she set it on fire?
She set it on fire, but she didn't pull the couch out of the house. She set it on fire inside her house. Genius.
I looked the story up. It happened in Louisiana, right? And it was like in August, and she also looked like she was on meth.
Yep.
That's a big look, surprise.
The moral,
the moral of the story tonight is don't do meth.
Don't do meth. So, you guys, now going to turn it over to take us through what natural births are and how they can be dangerous for women.
Yeah. So, this story has gone crazy. So to give you kind of I work with a group of people online that are wonderful, and they find it's a bunch of skeptics, and I'm in a bunch of different groups on Facebook, and they know that I write about different topics. And a lot of my readers are always trying to kind of farm out and find articles for me to write about. And if they find something good that they think I should write about, they'll send me and drop me some links, or they'll drop me some screenshots. So on Thursday, one of my readers, she sent me like 45 screenshots of this crazy story out of California. I follow a page called Detox, Anti-Vax, and Woo Insanity. It's on Facebook. And they kind of like share just like the crazy woo stuff. Like, they have trolls like in every single group on Facebook that does the woo stuff. And they had been following the story. I had no idea they were following the story because I hadn't checked in like a week. And she dumped like 45 screenshots. And then I actually messaged that page, and I was like, do you know about this story? And she's like, we've been following it. So that page also helped me with this story, but it's crazy. So the Free Birth Society, it's a Facebook group, and it's a group of women who believe that the birthing experience is theirs and theirs only, and they want to birth in the wild, meaning they want to birth away from hospitals. It could be in their homes. It could be in a stream. It could be on a toilet. It could be
not in the actual wild.
Some of them do, though. Like, I literally was on YouTube and I saw a woman giving birth in a stream. I'm not even kidding you. I also found a video of a woman like literally giving birth to her kid into a toilet. It was disgusting. A lot of them are pretty, of them are pretty benign. Like, it's like, you know, a lot of birthing tubs and stuff for home birth, which is fine. I mean, a lot of women give birth at home and nothing happens. It's just, a lot of home birthers have individuals that are there to help them. And a lot of home birthers will go through the proper prenatal care to ensure that they and the baby are healthy and, you know, viable for a home birth, because so much can go wrong with pregnancy. What the free birthers do is they're just like completely against ultrasounds, prenatal testing, blood work. They think like gestational diabetes testing is a racket. They think like testing for ultrasound disrupts the fetus. And it is like, you know, x-ray and like whatever, but they think even like checking for the fetal heartbeat is bad. They say that like doctors checking the cervix during labor is akin to rape. They're just very against midwives. Yeah, they're very against midwives. They're very against OBGYNs. They believe that bodies are made for this. And that's what they say is our bodies are made for this. And we are going to take back the birthing experience. And they write blogs about nasty logs to like midwives and doctors. And they talk, they use all their pseudoscience. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of crazy stories that come out of this page because women are literally having kids with no help at home. And you can only imagine what can go wrong, right? So this week, or actually it happened on the 7th, so a week ago, a woman shared her story on Facebook, and she had been sharing her story in the group, and her baby died. And it's actually pretty sad. This first slide is, let me see, let me just pull it up. I can read it too, but you should be able to see it. She's essentially like telling everyone about her experience where she's decided that she is going to have a free birth and she has opted not to do any prenatal care. She has not gone to any appointments. She went to one appointment when she was 8 weeks pregnant and then she never went back to the doctor after that. She shared with her friends and family that she was going to do this, that she was not going to have a doctor, a midwife. She was going to birth on her own because she knew how to do it. I'm trying to find it now. Where is it?
And so the thing to me, just from hearing what you've said so far, it just to me sounds so selfish.
It is. I mean, and they, okay, so the Free Birth Society is like, they say that we're selfish and self-absorbed and this is just about the mom, but this is about women taking back their power and giving their babies like natural birthing experiences. It's 100% all about the mother with zero regard for what will happen to the baby. That's it. I mean, these women care more about the fact that they want to have this amazing experience with birth and they don't want to be bothered. And that's more important to them on whether or not the child lives or the outcome of the birth. And birth is literally the most dangerous time and period of a woman's life. There's a reason why women give birth in hospitals. We do it so that we don't die. I mean, I've been through birth and it's not fun.
It's the one situation that you're in where you are essentially in control of two lives, not just one. Like you can't just think about you. You have another life that you're bringing into the world. And to me, you would want to make sure that you cover every basis, every precaution, you know, have, you know, your I's dotted and your T's crossed. And to just throw that away, throw all of those science on the advancements in medicine and all that away, just so you can, I think it's a moniker thing. People like to say, yeah, I did it naturally. It's totally selfish.
Yeah. So this woman, her name is Lauren Holiday. And I didn't name her name in the piece, but her name has been all over social media at this point. So I feel comfortable in saying her name at this point. I went out of my way not to name her, but she's been outed at this point. She lives in California in Joshua Tree with her boyfriend, who is a guitarist, I think, for, I don't know. It's weird. I was on his Instagram and I think he's somehow connected to Ryan Cabrera. Remember that guy that had like a hit like a million years ago? And now I don't know. He's like friends with this guy. And yeah. Yeah. So he's like in his band or something, or plays in his band, or he's friends with this guy. And so they're this like this new agey couple and they live off the grid. And like, she doesn't like, they don't have running water. They only have cold water, not hot water. They don't have a bathroom, only an outdoor shower. She wants to live dangerously and not in peaceful slavery, she says. And it's a very privileged.
What does that mean?
It's these wealthy white women who literally are so privileged by a society that vaccinates and has good health care and has good sanitation, that they believe that they need to take back and be with their ancestors and be like women were in the early 2,000 years ago when we died and like women, men dragged us by our hair, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, mental problem in society when we are so, there are a group of people that are so privileged to the point where they are too privileged to use indoor plumbing. When they say that they're too privileged to have a bathroom, like that is a, I think is a staple. You know, if you don't have a bathroom or like a place to take a shower whenever you want to, like an out, it just,
and these people aren't, I mean, if he, I'm sorry, but if her, I don't know their financial situation, but if you're hanging out with Ryan Cabrera, you're not poor. You're not, you know, you're running around in Hollywood. So, you know, it's just privilege and it's fake. It's, you know, it's that whole mystic new age bull crap, you know?
Yeah.
And so I honestly knew very little about this woman. And anyway, so in this first slide, she's basically talking about how she has her boyfriend's friend who is concerned enough about her and her unborn child has expressed to her multiple times that he is concerned about her choice to have no prenatal care, and wants to know if she's going to have a crazy hippie birth. And so she says, I'm 29 weeks along and I have already explained my reasons, my beliefs and the reasons behind each belief to him so many times already that the time I just said, yep, and was ready to change the subject. He pressed on about how we need to at least get to know the docs in our area just in case. So I told him that as a healthy woman, I trust that I know what's best for my body and my baby. And I know that this is the right choice for this family. And he said I was naive and believing I was healthy and that only a doctor can tell if you're healthy. He told me that only a doctor could tell if I'm healthy. Wait, what? She has like two emojis going like this. Then went on to tell us how irresponsible and reckless we are since we haven't gone for any checkups. At this point, all we could do was just smile and nod. You can explain yourself a million times with logic and proof, but a person unwilling to have an open mind to relearn will never see things differently than what we have been brainwashed to believe. He left shortly after and we brushed off his negativity and carried on our wonderful day by recharging naked in the sun. Gross.
Oh, recharging.
Right?
So she said, that the doctor said that only a doctor can tell if you're healthy, correct?
Her boyfriend's friend was like, I guess, pushing back on her and saying like, how do you know that you're healthy, right? You don't know that you're healthy. And that's very true. You know, pregnancy can have, a lot of things can happen in your pregnancy. I, for instance, my liver enzymes were elevated. I developed placenta previa, which meant my placenta was on top of my cervix. You know, if you don't have an ultrasound and you have no understanding of like what's going on in your womb, you literally have no idea if the baby has a good environment, if they're being fed correctly, if they're growing correctly, you know, if there's infections, if you are a carrier of infections. Many pregnant women develop infections like strep B. We can have UTIs that can go into the uterus. I mean, there are so many things that can affect the baby because it's connected to you. So it's very, he was right. It is naive and to believe that you're healthy.
Agree. And understand this desire to want to go back to the way that our ancestors gave birth. They didn't have a choice. The reason that they gave birth the way that they did was because there was no alternative. And it's not a better method. It was just the only method that they had at the time.
Right, exactly. It's not like they willingly chose that. But the thing is that even when women were doing this back then, they at least had midwives. I mean, we've had midwives in the United States since the colony, you know, since the 1500s. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we've been willy-nilly having babies out in the wild. We haven't. We've had help, and we need help. Childbirth is extremely dangerous.
Surely she had people that were going to be there, though, with her to do this.
It was just her boyfriend. That's it. In this remote location.
These people should not be allowed to reproduce ever again. Like they should, they should both be sterilized.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so what really compelled me to share the story wasn't so much like the atrociousness of it and the fact that like these free birthers are lunatics. It was more that her story was very parallel to the birthing experience that I had. And when I was reading through all of the screenshots, and I'm not going to share all of them with you. I didn't even share them in my article because I didn't think it was really necessary to see, you know, every single thing that she said and what people were saying back to her. It, you know, the overall story is that the woman made a horrible choice, right? And she had this really, really hard labor. And she, from the start, you know, she went into labor and she was having really severe contractions. She was throwing up. She was having back pain. And she wasn't progressing, you know, day after day after day, she was logging into this Free Birth Society webpage, on Facebook, this group, and like describing how her labor was basically stalled. And, you know, she's talking about back pain. She's talking about vomiting. She's talking about contractions coming really, really fast. And that was very similar to how my own labor was. And my son was stuck on my pubic bone. And so there was a lot of similarities where like I tried to push for 4 hours. I threw up the whole time. My contractions were super powerful. I was in labor for like 3 days, you know? So she, her water breaks, I think like the second day of her labor. And when her water breaks, she knows, she notices that the discharge isn't clear. And so typically when a woman has, when your water breaks, like for instance, like amniotic fluid is clear. So a baby that's like in your tummy, they're just in this clear fluid. And when your water breaks, it's like, it looks literally like water. It shouldn't have, there might be like little tinges of blood. That's not abnormal, but she was describing that it was like brown. And that's a sign of meconium, which is fecal, like baby fecal matter. Basically like the baby's during the birthing process, they defecate, right? I mean, they're just like you or I, they get rid of their waste. The danger is that in the, when they're in the uterus and the water is there, everything is sort of like protected and they don't get exposed to bacteria and that kind of stuff. But once the water's gone, all of that bacteria can get onto the baby and the baby is exposed to all of those germs. The baby can also inhale their poop. They can aspirate on it. They can develop pneumonia. It's a really big deal if your child like swallows it. So she notices that her discharge is brown. And you know, she's in this group and she's like, well, I don't know. I think my baby might've smelled like, maybe it's swallowed some meconia. I'm not sure. And like the mothers are like, oh, that's fine. Like, it's okay if your discharge is a little bit brown, no big deal. My baby swallowed it. They're just, oh, fine. It's not fine. Like babies can die from it, but whatever. So, you know, that happens, right? Well, as the days go on, that discharge gets more and more brown and it starts to stink, right? And her, and she's not progressing. I mean, she is laboring for like 4 days and nothing's happening.
4 days.
Yes. Right.
God.
So in the hospital, typically, if you have had your water broken, and this is why this resonated for me, is because my birth was very long, is my water broke on a Tuesday, but I didn't deliver until a Thursday evening. I had to be given antibiotics because my water had been broken for so long. And the longer your baby is exposed to like the amniotic fluid has like, when your cervix is open, any bacteria can get in there, right? And so they can develop infections. Your uterus can also develop infections when it's open like that. So it's a really risky time. And so in a hospital, typically they would give you an antibiotic by an IV while you're in labor to prevent you and the child from developing an infection, right? So when I was in the hospital, I got an antibiotic, which prevented me and my son from getting sick. Thankfully, she, on the other hand, didn't have that, right? And so she doesn't, she has this like goop coming out of her and she doesn't do anything. And the group does nothing to say, like, They don't tell her to go to the hospital. They don't tell her to seek help. They're telling her how to reposition her child. They're telling her how to do different progressions. They're telling her to get into a bath. They're basically like, you can do it. Yay, rah, rah, rah. When clearly this pregnancy has not progressed, or the labor has not progressed. She has potential meconium in her, you know, uterus that the baby has been exposed to. There's some sort of infection going on. The baby is not coming out. So she's, you know, this is a high risk pregnancy at this point, but she's not doing anything about it. So finally, like, everything goes silent and she doesn't respond, and people are trying to check in and they're like bumping the thread. And then all of a sudden, like, is this the thread that has the, you can probably go to the one where the, where she's talking about things not going to plan, Dave.
Oh, yeah, that's, I think that's number three, Dave.
Oh, yeah, we can skip number two. That doesn't, that the other slide was just that she's an anti-vaxxer, of course, right? Like, of course she's an anti-vaxxer. So after all of that's said and done, right? So she like goes through this whole process and she's, here, let me just, I'll read it to you. So sometimes nothing seems to go according to plan. That's been the theme of this pregnancy. Lots of moving, shifting business, living in a hotel randomly, and so much in between. But through all this crazy spontaneous plan shifts, my partner Chris and I have been strongly united together through it all. Our plan together since day one was an unassisted home birth. We researched everything out there and felt so prepared. It wasn't the easiest pregnancy, as I felt like I had every blah symptom pregnant ladies experienced. But I knew it'd be worth it because I was just better. It was just a matter of time before we'd have our baby. And October 1st, labor began, and it was all-nighter of surges. Then the sun rose and it stopped. It continued like that until the 4th. So 3 days. 3 days. Then the surges got terrible, and on top of one another from 7:30 p.m. on the 3rd to 7:30 p.m. on the 4th, when I think I basically passed out from exhaustion, the owner of the Free Birth Society, Emily Saldea, was kind enough to stay in contact with her through the worst of it when I thought I was going to die. So the founder of Free Birth Society was helping her through this, right? Which is just gross. And then I really appreciate her kindness and support through this process. As the surges keep coming every day, but still no baby, just making me more and more tired and my body aches everywhere. Nothing I could do would ease the pain, but I tried so hard to stay positive. My water broke on the evening of the 4th and was discolored. Since I was 42 weeks pregnant, which is another red flag, anytime your baby is that overdue, they have a higher risk of dying. They have a higher risk of infection. There's a reason why OBs don't let you go past a certain period of time. But she didn't go to the doctor, so whatever. Since I was 42 weeks, I thought it was normal that her discharge would be normal, would be brown. Babies can, like, the uterus can start calcifying if the baby's in there too long. But as the days went by, it got more foul smelling and turned a sick poop color, which was constantly leaking. And then the baby stopped moving on the 6th. I woke up on the 7th in so much pain, pouring meconium, that Chris and I agreed it was time to transfer. Only after the baby stopped moving and she was pouring fecal matter out of her vagina did she decide to go to the hospital. Her labor started on the 1st. She goes to the hospital on the 7th. At 9:30 a.m., we are admitted, and as soon as they saw the color and the smell of the fluids coming out, the first thing they did was listen by a Doppler for the heartbeat. Nothing. After bringing in three different levels of technology to find the baby, they informed us that their baby was gone. They found that her head was only an inch from exiting. So they found out that she was an inch from exiting, and they had set me up to start pushing. So basically she has to deliver the dead baby, right? And so they had to get a vacuum out. Her baby had shoulder dystocia, which is basically like sometimes in birth, babies can get twisted. And so instead of being like coming out where they're going to be their head facing down, they're kind of twisted to the side and their shoulder can get stuck underneath the pubic bone. And that's what happened to my son. And so no matter how hard you push, the baby can't go through a bone. And so in order to remove that for women, they'll do C-sections or they'll do vacuums or forceps. So for hers, it looks like they used a vacuum. So anyway, she goes through this long story about how like she has to go through this horrific childbirth to a dead baby. They have to knock her out because she's so hysterical and she didn't understand what was going on. And he had to like stick his arm all the way up just to get the baby out. Eventually they get the baby out. The baby's like, all of the baby's bones are broken. It looks like horrific. It says that she had several broken bones and they brought the baby over to me and I finally got to see my daughter. And she says, Journey Moon Martini was born a sleeping angel. She passed away due to a massive uterine infection. So she had a huge infection. Yeah, you can just go through those slides. I was just reading through them.
When did the baby actually die?
So she says that she felt the baby moving on the 6th, but the baby stopping moving on the 6th didn't even make her go to the hospital. And if you're a man and you've never been pregnant, but like, babies that are full term, they're busy and they kick and they're moving all around and you can feel them. So if they go quiet and she didn't go and seek help, that's like, to me, one of the most disturbing parts of this.
What are the laws here? Like, is she facing any kind of criminal? I don't even know how that would work.
Okay, so I was doing some research on this before we went live because I was trying to figure out, are there any charges? You know, so there's different, like if she would have had a midwife and the midwife would have ignored all of those signs, it's possible the midwife could have been charged like in the manslaughter of the infant. If she would have had the hospital at a birth, like at a birthing center if she would have had the baby at a hospital, you know, they can do wrongful death suits against doctors if the baby was viable going into the labor. And it sounds like this baby was viable because it was active and she talked about how much it moved. So this was a baby that was alive. The only case that I could find was there's a couple in Oregon right now who are pled guilty in July. The woman had twins after in a home birth. And following the home birth, she delivered one infant stillborn, and then one of the infants was born alive and then subsequently died. It was premature, and they refused medical treatment for the child, and they were charged with manslaughter. So in this case, I don't know. I couldn't find anything where she would be charged. I mean, it's a known risk of going into childbirth at your home that you could potentially kill your child.
You said that that there were cases where the midwife could potentially be, charged with manslaughter. Wouldn't the boyfriend count in this case because he stood by and watched this happen and didn't do a thing?
You know, I don't know. You know, and it makes me wonder if like the fact that she was using this Emily woman as a coach, because one of the founders of the Free Birth Society, she is. She was a doula. She has no medical background. I mean, she worked as a doula, but a doula is basically like someone that like gets you ice chips and rubs your back. You know, they're not providing you any medical assistance. They're there to keep the mother comfortable while they're pregnant. So she coaches women on how to free birth. And so I don't know if by helping women through birth, she opens herself up to any liability at all. I don't know. But the mother did say that she was helping her during that. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
what are her
the free?
Go ahead.
Well, so the interesting thing is, like, as you know, this story keeps developing, and I have shared, I wrote the article last Friday or on Friday, and since it's been like online, it's had over like 20,000 people that have read it. So it's gotten a lot of exposure, and it's gotten back to the Free Birth Society, and it's gotten back to the mothers. So they know that this article exists. They know that the story is public. And I actually just got a let, where is it? Someone had just sent me.
So the
Free Birth Society, Aside of Crunchy, which is, I don't know who that is. They posted to the Unassisted Childbirth Free Birth Facebook page, and they said, "We love that you add your friends, but especially right now, all free birth groups have the potential to be under fire in Troll Haven with the recent Patheos article that came out about the Free Birth Society. I'm not going to post it because the more reads the disgusting author gets, the more money she gets, and I don't want to fund a free birth hater. Let's just say it's not a nice article. Everyone must answer questions to get in, period, point blank." Basically, like, all of these groups that do free birth have like shut the F down. Like, they won't let anyone in. The Free Birth Society, the owner, she put up a video basically saying, "We don't hate midwives. We don't hate doctors. We don't condone this. We don't condone that." But if the rules for that Facebook group specifically say, like, I think if one of those slides for Dave, it's like, it says you can't talk about like medical anything. Like, you can't urge someone to go get medical help. So this group facilitated this child's death.
What was her, what's her mindset now? Like, looking at this situation, you know, it's happened. And what is her frame of being? About it, is she okay with it? Like, what's going on in her head?
So, right before we went live, someone tagged me in a post. Let me see if I can find it. She had basically posted an update where she said that, you know, it's been a week since her baby died, and she's still like trying to come to terms with what happened. And she doesn't seem to take any blame. Like, she seems to believe that the uterus infection is what caused the death. And like, that's what she's hanging on to. And she says she's asking herself questions about what and why and that kind of stuff. But like, from the tone of all of her messages, it's like, it's almost like this disconnect. And I don't know if it's like the trauma, because there is considerable trauma, right? She's lost her baby. And maybe she's not going to publicly outwardly say like she feels responsible. Like, maybe she just doesn't want to, you know, she's already talking about wanting to have more kids. I mean,
no.
Yes.
When she went to the hospital, is there a like a protocol in? And I don't know. I'm just asking if this is maybe state by state or whatever. But did they do an investigation into like if there was could be some criminal activity, or if you know what I'm saying, like follow up?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how, like, you know, how they like document it. You know, it would come into the hospital as like a home birth kind of gone bad, but I don't know, like, the death of the baby would be documented in the hospital because that's where it's delivered. So it would go under a hospital death, even though technically the baby died in her uterus at home. Right. But like I said, I don't know what kind of laws they are. And like, trust me, like I have been looking for that answer for 3 days because every single person that reads this story is like, there has to be something that can be done. Like she literally killed this baby. And the fact that like the Free Birth Society egged it on, right? Like they did nothing to stop it is, you how know, to is, me is.
I'm sorry.
How big are they? Well, they
yeah, how big? So like, what about this organization? Because they seem to be, Dave, you want to go to the next slide? I think you actually sent in the rules that they have like for these home births. I think it's the next to the last one, Dave.
Yeah,
do you want to talk about the actual organization?
Yeah, so the organization is like they are like they're founded by two women, Emily Saldea and Yolanda Carter, I think is her name, and they aren't connected in terms of like location wise. I think Yolanda is in New Brunswick, Canada, and I believe Emily is in Hawaii, right? So they work together virtually. And their Facebook page has about 11,000 followers. Their Instagram account has about 18,000 followers. And then they have a Facebook group with just over 5,000 people in it. So it's not tiny. You know, there's enough women. And the organization that they have, they have classes. So they charge $600 for an online course that teaches you how to free birth. So if they're not, like, the thing to me is, like, if you're not providing medical assistance, what are you doing? It almost as though they're practicing without a license, right? If they're giving education on how to free birth.
Exactly.
Yet, right? Exactly. So yet there's all, they have all these disclaimers on their website that, like, this does not substitute for medical, you know, advice. Please consult a doctor. We are not trained medical people. But it's the same BS that all of these scammers do, right? Like Jillian, like Jim Humble, they all use that same disclaimer. And it doesn't matter because they say, well, I'm not a medical professional. But then people are coming to them as though they are and trusting them. And they charge for classes. They charge for coaching. They have a $900 package where they have expectant mothers pay them for Skype calls.
That's ridiculous. But it's not surprising. I mean, we had a guy on here. We had a guy on here several months ago who he got like $300 a Skype call, and his stick was that he was a healer. He would heal you through Skype. So,
right. It's, you know, and their whole Facebook group is like a racket for feeling. Their business.
Yeah. And he would ask you how you're feeling and you would tell them, and he would say it back to you in the tone that you said it to him. Cause he says that by projecting your pitch and tone back to you, that negates the negative energy. And he's making $300 a pop off of these calls from people who are, you know, just searching for some kind of happiness. It's deplorable, I think.
It's awful. I mean, it's, you know, you're taking advantage of people. And, you know, Emily and Yolanda have no education in this field. I mean, Emily has worked as a doula, which again, doesn't count. She's not a certified midwife. You know, Yolanda has like 800 kids. I don't know if that qualifies for something, and she's birthed them all wildly. But I mean, her blogs are ridiculous. It's like she thinks that gestational diabetes is a racket designed by, you know, the OBs to make money, and that ultrasounds are going to kill the babies, and, you know, putting your fingers up the cervix is akin to rape. I mean, again, it's just these women are so detached and so privileged, and they have an audience much like all of these other people, like Jillian's and all of these people that do this, that hang on their every word. And these two women have decided to capitalize on it, and women pay them. And clearly this mother was on the phone with Emily at some point talking her through this, and she never went to the hospital. I mean, how arrogant are you to do that to someone?
I do you know the statistics on like how many of these occur a year, and what the like the ratio of successful births to ones that are, you know, end up like what we talked about tonight?
Yeah, so you know, the CDC and the CDC has done some studies on home birth outcomes versus like hospital outcomes. And every single year they put out like a different report on like the birth outcomes or whatever. There's about, from the last report, there's about 38,000 home births a year in the United States, right? So it's not a huge amount.
That's still a lot more than I thought.
That's still a lot, right? Right, yeah. And so I think they estimate for every 100... Okay, so for every... I wrote an article about it. Let me just see if I can pull it up because I had some statistics on it that I was preparing for the show. It's way more like risky to give birth at home, and it's way more risky to give birth at home if you don't have any sort of help, right? So the death for a woman is 3 times greater if she gives birth at home than if she were to give birth in a hospital. So
right.
For like one in every like 1,000. So like for a woman at a hospital, I believe it's like 1.3 deaths per 1,000 or something. And then it's like 3.7 or something per 1,000 for home birth. I can't remember the exact numbers. And it ends up being about like, it's a lot, right? It's a 3 times difference. And if you kind of add that up over the 38,000 that they have, it's a lot of deaths, right? Home birthers will say, well, right, there's so many factors that play into death and blah, 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 blah. And you, more people die in the hospital. Well, the fact is that a lot of the deaths that are reported in the hospital could very well have occurred because the woman was transferred from a home birth and died at the hospital.
Right. And you so have a graph really hard to show for that too, I think.
So the big thing that these home birthers are all about is that, you know, childbirth is like how we're built, and we're supposed to like, our bodies are supposed to get through this without any issues, and we're built for this, right? This graph is an outline of like what has happened to the mortality rate of women who have had babies in the United States since the United States started reporting mortality rates for pregnant women. In the 1920s, when they first started reporting, over 600 women per 100,000 births died.
Mm.
This was before we had standards of care, before women gave birth in hospitals, before, you know, we had interventions to help get babies out. And as if you follow, so the graph is, if you look at the graph, it's the top one. Sorry, I'm pointing mm-hmm. to my screen. It's the top line. And so you see that it peaks and then it slowly starts to come down, right? And so it goes only into the 1950s, but you know, this was only looking at a short period of time, kind of understanding like, you know, the United States had a period in time where we had a lot more deaths of women that were having babies. And we still do. We're still one of the highest rates for women to die during childbirth in developed nations. But we're way better than we used to. I mean, we're not, you know, 600 women per 100,000 aren't dying anymore. You know, it's like not even close.
Well, I was just going to say, on that statistic where people are saying more people die in hospitals, that's probably because more people are smart enough to go to hospitals in the first place.
Well, it's not even, no. So more women don't die in the hospital. Well, like more women die.
But from a statistical standpoint, like,
yeah,
there's going to be more deaths in hospital because more people don't, like, that's like saying, it's like most people go to hospitals to have children.
That's right.
That's a statistical fact. So yeah, if people are going to die from childbirth, most of them are going to be in hospitals.
So in 2015, there was 38,542 women that opted to have a child at home. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, so they did a study that completed by the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology in 2017 indicated that infants born at home have a higher incidence of mortality than those born in a hospital. The study reviewed births spanning multiple years and included 75,000 home births and 1 million hospital births. The finding of the studies found that the mortality rates were 9.35 deaths per 10,000 for a home birth versus 3.59 for 10,000 for a hospital birth. So it's like I said, it's like 2.6 times greater. So if you take like 9.35 times 10, you know, 90 women per 100,000 women that home birth die. That's a lot.
That is a lot. That's a really high number. And it's a lot more than it needs to be. Like, these to me are senseless deaths. And to me, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't think that somebody
That was infant mortality rate, not women. Sorry. But still, that's like 90 children die from these births.
But what is your feeling? Like, to me, I don't think that if you make a decision to forego medical treatment and have a birth in a hospital, I don't think that you're fit to raise kids. Like, if you can make that kind of decision before they're even born, like, I don't feel comfortable with you making decisions that, you know, in parenting and raising a child.
You know, in this woman's decision making, like in the screenshots that I read, I mean, she's just impractical. She wasn't going to diaper the baby. The baby was going to pee on a pot. And she was going to let it lay naked with her and co-sleep at night and let her pee on pads. And, you know, like, she wasn't going to vaccinate the child. The child was going to live in, you know, off the grid without electricity or running water. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, I'm sure that's how she grew up, right? In her cushy little, like, you know, California life. No, like, she's going for the complete opposite. And the fact that, like, I don't know, she was so arrogant to do this, and now the kid is dead. And a lot of people are like, I feel bad for her. Well, yes, a mother is grieving, but at the same time, that mother made a horrible decision. I do not feel bad. She was arrogant. She thumbed her nose to medicine. She ignored all the warning signs. She did nothing to help that child. She put herself and her experience in front of the needs of that child. And I don't care if you have kids or not, but as a mother, like, when you're pregnant, you don't think anymore about just yourself. Your life is no longer about you. I no longer make decisions just for myself. I'm a mom. I have a six-year-old. Like, when he came into the world and when I got pregnant, I changed my entire life, my eating patterns. I went to the doctor. Like, you do those things because you want your baby to have a chance and be born healthy.
It's just like you said. I mean, you said it spot on. You're in charge of another person's care. You know, like, if you make the choice to bring a child into, especially that long, I mean, she was past due. So, like, the baby's here, you know, and when it gets to that point, you should do everything that is humanly possible to bring that child in healthy. Like, that's your number, even above your own health. I think that at that point, you have an obligation to,
I think you would, if you would talk to most women that go through childbirth, like, their experience is almost always secondary to ensuring that their child arrives, right? Because that's the ultimate goal.
Right. It, now, in terms of, the legal thing, I think that something has to be done to prevent these organizations from growing and spreading that kind of message. Like, to me, that's ridiculous. And if you're in it, let's say that if you, cause I don't think that you'll be able to get rid of home births as an option. I think that's one of those things that it's just a, you know, it's a natural, I mean, I don't know how that works. If it's a natural right that you have to do, but if that's the case, then the hospital should be able to either by law or some other way send a nurse or somebody to your house to monitor and make sure that if things go awry, then they can, like, you know, pull the switch and get you to a hospital, whether you like it or not.
I mean, I know women talk about how they don't want our, we don't want our uteruses to be legislated, but I kind of like put my foot down when it comes to the health of a baby. And if it means that, like, once I'm pregnant, if I go to term and I don't do what's right for that child and I'm chart, I think there should be laws that, you know, mothers should be, that child could have lived, right? Like, there is zero reason why that baby should be dead. Zero.
Right.
That was a viable pregnancy. Yeah, and if she would have delivered that baby, like, say she would have delivered that baby and it was born alive and it died an hour later and she didn't do anything to help it, she would have been charged with manslaughter. The only difference is that it died inside of her.
Exactly. And it speaks volumes about the mindset when you're able to feel the baby essentially die while you're giving birth, because she said that she could feel it stop moving. And she laid there for another day.
Right.
I don't understand that. It makes no sense.
Well, and she literally only went for herself, right? And so then she praises, like, the hospital staff because they were so kind to her and they were so good to her. And, you know, they brought roses and they played Tears in Heaven for her baby. And, like, they were so loving. Like, the same people that for months and months and months she said were horrible and didn't care about patients. And it's, you know, the medical community is going to hurt us. You know, these are the same people that with compassion and love, like, were there for her and didn't make her feel bad when they probably could have. And you know what? Kudos to that, to those care workers, because those doctors must have had things that they wanted to say that they didn't say, you know, but they still treated her with dignity and respect. And I mean, that should say more than anything, is that, like, these, what irritates me more than anything about these groups is not only the danger that they put in for the mothers and for the babies, but, like, how much crap they talk about the medical community. These are doctors that, like, sacrifice their adult lives to help mothers like me have children. You know, they're on call for, like, weeks at a time.
Right. And it doesn't make any, her stance doesn't make any sense, because it to me, it almost seems like she's trying to make an argument that she wants to go back to the way things were, you know, back in ancestors' time. But
yep.
Yet she's posting all of this on Facebook and YouTube. Like, she's
correct,
used,
right?
She's utilizing
the irony
to satisfy her vanity. She's being vain and she's being self-absorbed, and she's using modern day technology to post about what she's doing to go back to a naturalistic state. It's complete bullshit.
Right.
I mean, it's complete bullshit. Yeah.
Bullshit is a good word for that. I mean, it's hypocritical, right? Like, so she can have this whole hippy dippy life and, like, live off the grid, but then she has Wi-Fi. And in that one slide we were talking about where her friend came over to their house, they're watching the World Cup. You know, like, I'm sorry, but, like, you're off the grid, but you're watching the World Cup. Shut up. And, like, it's just, like I said, it's hypocritical. Like, the minute that the staff came in to help save her life, right? Her life. And that's what ultimately comes down to it. She only sought help when her life was in danger, not when the baby's life was in danger. And that's what's selfish about this.
What do you think the chances of her, if she's already talking about wanting to get pregnant again, her doing another natural birth? Has she hinted about that?
Well, here's the thing, is, like, in all of those messages, she said, and this is the kicker that pisses me off to no end. She says that she knew that she was at risk for infections. She had a history of infections and she knew that, but she was so stupid that she didn't realize that infection could infect the uterus. And because she's high risk for whatever infections these are, whether it's strep B or it's UTIs or who knows, she could have HPV, who knows? I don't know what she has. But because she has these infections, she cannot go unmonitored for any other pregnancies. The doctors told her as much. And so now she's like, now I have to be monitored and it'll be, you know, a closer like relationship with doctors. Like, screw you. You knew you had infections and you didn't do anything for your first pregnancy.
The issue here is that she's getting so much attention from this one that I feel that that's going to be a motivating factor in her doing it again. Like, she feels like she's emboldened now that the people are following her story. But there's an interesting conversation that was kind of going on, and I saw Not Your Witness kind of mention this, but he said something to the effect of how this will be used as an argument for the right in the abortion debate. And I just want to say that I thought about that same thing too, that it's you'll have some people saying, well, you know, how are you as an atheist arguing for the life of a child, you know, being you know, either killed or dying before it was brought to term? And I just want to take the time, even though I shouldn't have to, but I want to explain that there's a certain point at which the child is actually a child. And when you're overdue and the kids, you know, it's just waiting on the push out. That's different.
She was 42 weeks. To give the viewers an understanding, she had a 2-week-old baby in her uterus. That's a viable infant. It has the lungs. It can, it can breathe on its own. That's not a fetus with a heartbeat. This is a baby that, for all intents and purposes, had it gotten out, would be alive today. That is way different. And listen, I am as pro-choice as they come, but this is not about pro-choice. This is about, this was a baby.
Right. And there's a cutoff point. I mean, I'm not a fan of late term abortion, not to, you know, go any further down that road, but I think there is a certain point to where, if you decide that you are going to bring this child into term and you're, you know, that far along, then it is your responsibility to make sure that you do everything that you can to get that child here as safe as possible. And if you're enough to make that decision, follow through with it.
Right. And there's zero states in this country where you could ever get an abortion at 42 weeks. Zero.
Right.
Zero.
Absolutely.
You know, I think you can, in some rare, there are some states that have the third trimester abortions, but a lot of them won't go past 35 weeks, which is still crazy because a 35 week infant can live on their own. My son is a 35 week old baby, you know,
I actually have friends who have kids that are earlier than that. They have preemies that were earlier than 35 weeks.
My son was in the NICU for 7 weeks, and our neighbor right across the hall was a 23 week preemie, and she is 6 years old today, and she is fine, and she is the cutest thing. You know, the funny thing is, right, is that this group is pro choice, so they're not even like the type.
This group is. Is infuriating to say the least, but go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking about how they took the time out to make a comment about how I'm an awful person for writing about this. No, you guys are awful for doing this. Like, you are awful for putting women at risk. You are awful for putting babies at risk. And I've heard from other people in the community that, you know, there was a death of a mother not too long ago in the same group. So it's not like this is just a one-off. If you are promoting and pushing women into these reckless births, there's going to be death.
Right. And the thing is, you're not an awful person for writing about it. They think that you're awful because they are being exposed for I don't even know the right word, a horrible, deplorable group. I mean, if you are going to be a group that claims to have women's health and well-being at first hand, then making sure that they seek the proper medical condition is a I'm saying it's baffling that they are promoting such a harmful practice towards women that they claim to be backing up. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, they say that they're pro-choice, right? And like, they say that, like, so after all of this happened, like, I think I said Emily Saldea or whatever her last name is, she made a video, right? And so one of my readers did this Dropbox video for me so I could watch what she was saying. And she was essentially saying that, like, we're not anti-medicine, we're not this, we're pro-choice, we're pro this, we're pro that. But then if you go through all of their rules, they're not. You can't talk about medicals. They don't allow birth workers. You can't tell a mom to go seek medical assistance. You can't talk about ultrasounds. You can't talk about testing. You can't talk about, you know, going to the doctor. They don't allow any of that. And so when they strip out all of that, can you really have a balanced conversation about birth? No, because for some of these women, it's not going to work to have a reckless wild birth. They're going to have to go to the hospital. And then what do? You don't tell them not to go. You go. I mean, it's stupid. And then this woman for trusting this group. I mean, what a moron. This is the complete, to me, this is the complete like antithesis of how these groups damage and destroy. Like, it might be a virtual online world that they live in, but this went real life and a baby is dead.
Mm-hmm. And needlessly, I think that's the takeaway here is that this was an event that could have been avoided easily, like super easily. And it would have been a lot more comfortable for her in the process, like put yourself through that kind of, it just doesn't make any sense.
Like for me, for instance, like I said, like I had an infection too and my water broke too. And like, so maybe had she been in the hospital with that infection, you know, the baby might have been born a little bit sick, but like a hospital can manage that, right? Like they've got oxygen, they can suction out the lungs, like they can do all of those things to like help the baby recover. And with birth like that, where it's like a long process, the babies do have trauma from how long they spend in the birthing canal. And a hospital can help with all of that. I mean, she was setting herself up for failure from the beginning by, you know, 4 days, 5 days of labor. I mean, what she said, the first was the day she went into labor and she had the baby on the seventh. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. There's a question that came in. I think this is relevant. They just said that, what do you think is the solution for this? Is education alone not cutting it?
You know, I think like, and a lot of people have come at me about this, like, you're just against home birth. Listen, I am not against home birth. I am against mothers having all of the information. And if you're in a group
So what if you are, though?
Well, I'm against unassisted birth 100%. I am against mothers not getting prenatal care. That is ridiculous. Like, you better. And yes, home birth is dangerous. So if you're going into it with home birth and you are pissed off that you got a bad outcome, guess what? The statistics aren't in your favor. Like, that's a product of home birth. And there's a reason
Yeah, I'm okay with saying I'm anti-home. I'm okay.
You're okay with it? Well, yeah, you know,
don't do home births. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't. I didn't. There's no way. I know people that have had home births that have been successful. That's why I'm saying, like, would I do it? No. Do I think it's irresponsible? 100%. But I think if you're going to do a home birth, you better have a backup plan. You better have a plan of, like, who you're going to call, how you're going to transport, like, how far away is the hospital? Meet the doctors that might be able to help you. I mean, you could at least be more organized. I mean, this woman had no plans.
Like I said, I'm okay with saying that I'm with being anti-home birth. I think that if you're going to have a child, you need to have it in a medically safe environment as possible. However, if you are going to insist that you have a home birth, have somebody there that knows what the fuck they're doing. Right. Not your boyfriend right. who doesn't know.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Have somebody there that can make a decision that if something goes wrong or if there's a discoloration in the discharge, they know what it is. Like, you're not guessing. You're not right. asking. You're not asking Facebook with people who post right. pictures of food and what they're watching and Netflix and chill. You're asking those people what this medical condition is. And it's just
right.
It's
right.
stupid.
It's so stupid. Like, it's so stupid. There are amazing midwives that have gone through hundreds of births. And, you know, I have talked since I've written this to numerous midwives, right? And all of them have said that a trained midwife would know that that baby was in for way too long. The discharge was not right, and they would have sent her to the hospital. Like, a midwife would have been like, you gotta go. Right. But she didn't have anybody telling her that.
She had her boyfriend.
Yeah, who's clearly an idiot. Like, whatever. You can play with your stupid rock band and, like, live off the grid.
So crazy. Well,
I know.
This is, I wish
I know, this got me so heated.
It got the live chat heated too, but they said that they've loved this informative conversation. Thank you, Non Sequitur, and Without a Crystal Ball, for a great conversation. This needed to be discussed.
I know it's a little bit different than what you guys are used to, but there's so much bad science out there, and there's so many people
making
stupid. Yeah. Yeah, someone said they liked me.
Of course they do. Katie will be me and Katie will be here every Sunday at 8 p.m. And I'm just going to let Katie give you a preview of some of the things that we're going to talk about. And by doing that, just name off a couple of your craziest articles that you've written. I know there's one involving blood that was very controversial.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what? It didn't even get that. I was so proud of this story. Okay. So I was so proud of this story because it was so hard to write. And I was like so like pumped. I thought everyone was going to read it. And it kind of like thudded out. Like, it might have been just too gross. But I don't care. It's okay. So this woman in the Netherlands, she decided that she was going to make blood sausage with her own blood.
Oh, God.
And she did it. Yes. Oh. Yes. So she like gets this like wild hair up her butt and she's like, I don't want to hurt a pig for their blood, but I'll eat their meat, but I don't want their blood. I don't understand her logic. So she goes online and she's like, I'm going to buy some needles and some blood bags. Okay, so the logical thing is if you're going to take your blood, you probably only need like one or two needles. And this is the part that like gets me out of all of this. She bought 600 needles.
Oh my God, I can't. My skin's crawling right now. Oh God.
I don't know. And how then much, she got... How mu- then she,
I'm sorry, then I'm got, choked up. I'm choked up. How much
And then she got donated blood, right? She got it donated blood bags, right? Like donated blood bags. Somebody who like legit could have used those blood bags, like a blood bank or like somebody that has to have blood, you know, at home, like lots of medical reasons, right? Somebody legitimately could have used that. She got them donated to her to take her own blood so she could eat it. It's
why? I don't fuck people. That's all I'm going to say. Like I'm
Yeah, I'm
so she made it, right? She made it. And she, like, invited a friend over and they ate it.
Cannibalism, people. It's a thing.
It's Hannibal Lecterette.
Yeah.
Hannibal Lecterette. Oh, that's what it
so
is.
So gross. And there's, like, pictures of her with, like, fingers in her blood. And she's like, oh, and it looked like a slaughterhouse when it was. Oh,
Uncle
my
Ned.
God.
I'm not Steve, Uncle Ned. I'm David. Steve's not here, man.
It was so gross.
So, okay, so let's let's clear off of, I don't want to end on a bloody note. So let's talk about, give them a hint of, I think next week what we'll do is a little bit about the, people ask about a lot, and that would be Jilly. So maybe we'll touch base on Jilly a little bit and then talk about Turpentine guy.
Oh, okay. So yes. Yeah, so there's this guy, his name is Danny Glass, Sunfruit Dan. He's on YouTube. You guys can check him out. He's a loon. He is crazy. He like
don't don't.
Did you watch some of the videos? He eats borax.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately,
he drinks his own urine. He you know like every single woo thing you can do. Like he does them all. Like,
oh man.
But he also drinks turpentine, right? And so I'm super, super, super excited, you guys, because one of my sock accounts got into his group. And so all week this week, I'm going to be going in there, getting screenshots, like asking questions about turpentine. I am so pumped. I never get into these groups with my socks ever.
So next week's episode will be called the Terp Derp.
The Terp Derp. Yes.
That just came to me. Jamie says, smart at-home pregnancies. The Amish come with hundreds of years of experience and community resource. And a backup plan, the Amish should seek hospitals in case of an emergency, is fine. Using a toilet is just asinine. Yes, and you should have put ass, like A-S-S-anine, because that would have made sense.
I wrote an article, too, because this woman posted a video of her wild birth, like, and she literally gave birth into a toilet. It's so gross. And then, of course, I fell down the rabbit hole of, like, what kind of bacteria are in toilets. It's just like, ew, even a...
This is why I think, guys, this is why I think this is a perfect relationship here, because our show, I thought, dove into the, you know, we're like the video version of Without a Crystal Ball, but I thought we dove into some pretty wild things, but she makes us look like PBS. Like, she makes us look like, you know, the things that she comes across.
I, you know what, I want to do a huge shout out though to my readers, because I got to do a huge shout out to my readers. I get so much content from my readers. It's unbelievable. You know, they'll see something online and they'll be like, Katie, you have to check this out. And so I end up in all of these different groups, and like, it's awesome that you guys like are like liking what I write, and it makes my job easier, so I don't have to like scour it out, you know, when a story just drops into my lap. My whole life is a whole lot easier. But yeah, like, it's amazing. Like, oh, I forgot to tell you, they told me about this fascist lady that we should talk about at some point from the UK, and she's another person I'm going to work on.
Fascist. You can't go wrong with fascists, let me tell you. Always a...
Okay. She's a Nazi and she's Asian. It's amazing.
Oh, I can't wait. So just to let... there's some comments in the live chat. Let me... Because they say Without a Crystal Ball would be a great regular feature. She's actually a feature. She's the co-host of this show, The Smoking Nun. So she'll actually be here every Sunday at 8. This is going to be a recurring thing. So you'll get to hear these stories broken down. Like tonight we did the natural births, and next week we'll do a little bit on Jilly and what's going on with her and the Attorney General from Ohio, and the Terp Derp. But we will highlight a character, I guess is the good word, a derp.
Yeah.
We'll highlight a derp. A woo derp each week.
And there are so many, you guys. Like, I know you guys are like stuck on Jilly, but I am telling you, Jilly is like the tip of the iceberg of crazy.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I want to go ahead and hit her and get it out of the way. And for that very reason, to show that, you know, because I know that a lot of people have been, from the last time you were on, they've been asking about doing a follow-up with what's going on with her. But guys, she is a nothing player in the bigger game. Like, some of the people learn about here will just make her look like the Pope.
Like, in the world of woo, she only has like 6,000 followers, and I'm sure 4,000 of them are trolls, right? Like, there are other woo people like Jim Humboldt and like David Avocado Wolf and like Ty Bollinger who have hundreds of thousands of people that are doing serious damage. Jillian's just right. fun because she's ridiculous.
Yeah. And she watches us between the two of us. Yes. So that's why we kind of focus on her because we like to troll her a little bit. But Katie, why don't you go ahead and let everybody know. It is fun. I mean, it's good to see a reaction. Like, does to trigger
that was fucking really well timed, Kyle. It's good to see your reaction, and you froze.
I know, like you completely froze. Good. What did you say?
I've got to. They need to hurry up and get these lines clear. This is annoying. But I was just saying that. What was I saying? I can't remember. Why don't you let people know where they can find out more about your work, where they can see your articles and read and get up to date, and actually tell them what's coming up for this week to look forward to.
So this week, I've got some feelers out for another woo person. They sell this product called Humaworm. They're big into parasites. I will also be probably doing some digging, and In addition to woo, I also write about abuse and that kind of stuff. And so there'll be some stories probably about child abuse or some parents being stupid. There's a case down in Alabama of a little boy that was tortured that I've been following. So I'm hoping to do some follow up there. And then I'm hoping to finally write the story on turpentine. It's just so much. Like, it's... To give you an idea, is like when I prepped for that first article for Jillian, I was in her life for like a week, just reading and watching her mindless videos. It's a lot of work me to put together these. I know. But I think you understand like how much time and effort goes into this. So you should subscribe
too much.
to my Patreon account. Which is just patreon.com without a crystal ball too. I'm on Twitter at WOA crystal ball. And I love to chat. I'm on Twitter a lot. I like to get into Steve likes to get me into his fights and whatever. I know he was trying to get me into some fight yesterday and I was like, dude, I'm working out. I can't talk right now.
That's so funny.
I know. He's like, we're going to get this guy. And I'm like, I'm doing the elliptical. And then I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/withoutacrystalball. That's actually where my largest group is. There's like 11,000 people there that follow. So, and then obviously my column is on Patheos, and it's just Patheos. I don't even know. It's on the Facebook page and on my Twitter.
And it's here. It's in the link in the description and on your screen, right there beside to Katie's left. So
yes. And I update new articles either one to three a day. This birthing one has sort of taken over my life, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to write. Today I actually just wrote a new article about e-cigarettes, about how they're not as safe as we originally thought. So I'm always finding new and fun things to write about.
And she's fantastic. So this was a fantastic first episode. It was a lot of fun.
It was so fun.
I look forward to the derps we will run into together.
Yes. Oh my gosh, so many derps.
Okay. So guys, joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Oh, I have a Discord, too. Look, a pig wants to remind everyone. I have a Discord.
And also, guys, in the description, there is a link to Producer Dave's GoFundMe. If you can, take a second and stop in, and let's get Dave to Ohio so he can be with the look a pig.
Look a pig. His,
if you watch the fundraiser, his bride-to-be soon, so... support love and go to GoFundMe. Aww. Support love, guys. Yeah.
Oof.
Oof. That's a good.
Dave's
a good
like, opinion. I don't know. He's like, I'm not sure about that.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Katie. That was an amazing first episode, and we'll see you guys tomorrow for a discussion on supermassive black holes with Dr. Felipe Goisevich.
Bye, guys. Yeah.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.